everybody, and welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special interview, a one-on-one with Devin Hester. My name is John Zagluel, owner and operator of the site. Before we get started today, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports, hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags, and follow my personal Twitter page at John Z Sports. Also, if you're looking for a place here in the Chicago area to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for both adults and children, check out the Arts and Crafts Studio by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. You can find them at the Tinley Park Downs Shopping Center at 7913 West 171st Street in Tinley Park, Illinois. If you have any questions, give them a call at 708-247-2100. That's 708-247-2100. Well, fortunately enough, we're having Devin Hester here on today's show. Some planned topics that we're going to talk about include his time with the Bears, retiring as a Chicago Bear, being a record holder, as well as his experience in the Super Bowl with the Bears in 2006. This is bound to be an interesting interview, and I want to thank you in advance for taking the time to listen. Through Devin Hester, we're going to hear about some interesting stories regarding his time with the Bears, as well as his secrets behind being the best return specialist the game has ever seen. Without further ado, enjoy the interview. It's now time for our special guest. He began his NFL career in 2006 with the Chicago Bears, recording 6 return touchdowns. That year, he helped the Bears reach Super Bowl 41 and made the Pro Bowl. After his rookie season, he made 3 more Pro Bowl teams while serving as the team's number one wide receiver. Today, he holds the record for most combined special teams return touchdowns at 20 and the most punt return touchdowns with 14. Please welcome Devin Hester to the show. Devin, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show. It's an honor.
I appreciate it, man, and I'm doing great.
First off, I'd like to reflect on your amazing NFL career. I had mentioned in your intro just some of the many records that you hold, and I wanted to know how you managed to perform at such an elite level. I mean, you brought meaning to the position of return specialist, so how do you explain all of your success?
It just comes from hard work, dedication, and just being around a great group of guys as well as the coaches.
You know, speaking of your success, too, I know that a big mentor, someone you looked up to, was Deion Sanders. So how did he play a role in that as well?
Just preparing me for the league, mentally, physically, routine rituals, just the right dieting, making sure you stretch, getting the body massages. Those type of things carry a lot of weight when you are constantly running and taking those hits.
And how does it feel for you to be an NFL record holder? I mean, I mentioned the two big ones, special teams return touchdowns and punt return touchdowns. There are many more. You are the greatest player ever to play your position. How do you take that? How do you feel about that?
It feels great, man. It's an honor, to be on the cream of the crop, you know what I mean, to have those records, man, and to not only, as a kid growing up to want to be in the NFL, but now, as a retired former NFL player, to say that I have several records in the NFL is an honor and a dream come true.
You know, at this point, I wanted to go back to 2006. It was your rookie season here in Chicago. Now, you were drafted in the second round, and there were many people, fans and media alike, who criticized the pick, claiming that the Bears at the time should have gone after some more offensive prospects. So how did you deal with all of that negativity once you were drafted in the second round?
I just put a chip on my shoulder. To be honest, I felt that the time coming out the draft, that if I left the year before then, I felt like I would have went in the first round my sophomore year. In the second year, I had, didn't get an opportunity to play as much as I did my sophomore year, so it kind of hurt my draft stock. So, you just got to take it with a grain of salt, and just move on with the situation. As far as my junior year, I didn't play a lot my junior year in college and decided to come out anyways. And, the rest is history from day one of stepping into the league and things I did.
And afterwards, once you truly showed just how dominant you were, how did it feel to prove everyone wrong? Because, I mean, there was just so much criticism around you. Then you come in 2006 and take the entire league by storm. How was that for you, proving everyone wrong and making everyone look as if, you know, they missed it?
I mean, it's the ones that had faith in me, you know, they knew things that was going to happen. But the ones that the critics that doubted me, you know, just a slap in their face. And that's how I look at it.
Sure enough, your rookie year was one to remember, but I wanted to talk about the comeback against Arizona on Monday Night Football. You returned a punt 83 yards to give the Bears the lead and eventually winning the game. So what was it like to be a part of that game, and how'd you take it all the way on that return?
First of all, it was a great call by special team coach Dave Toll. And like I say, the players that I was gathered around, you know, the guys that I played with, they was one of the most humbling and loyalty friends that I've ever experienced, you know, to be able to play with a group of guys like those guys. Those guys went to battle for me day in and day out with the great blocks and the schemes that was set up, you know, and it really made my job easy.
What was it like, you know, winning that game, coming back from a 20-point deficit, by the way? It must have felt, you know, just so unbelievable to come back from that deficit, beat the Cardinals, and then, of course, the rant after the game from Coach Dennis Green at the time. What was it like in the locker room at that point after you guys came back and won?
That game there was like one of the most intense game I ever played in. Just from the situation and going at halftime and those guys up almost 20-some points, you know, and to fight back and the way we fought back and the turnovers after turnovers from the defense and, man, and then to boil it all down to that punt return that really put us over the edge, man, that was one of the games that I would never forget, man.
You know, later in the season, you guys reached the Super Bowl, and on the first play of the game, you returned the opening kickoff 92 yards for a touchdown. How did you do that, especially on such a big stage like that?
It was so much built up, you know, just it was a lot of pressure on me, you know, not only playing in the Super Bowl, but back in my hometown, you know, that's where I played college ball at, you know, that's where I was born and raised. So the pressure was, it was a lot of pressure on me on, you know, about this game, you know, and to come to the game set and the game mind that, you know, we knew all week. Whether or not they was going to kick it to us was a big question, and we knew if we did get an opportunity for a return that it would be maybe one or two. So in the back of my mind, you know, I had that I might only touch the ball one or two times, so the times I do touch, I better make the best of it, and that's what I try to do.
And after that return, by the way, what was the atmosphere like with your teammates? Were you guys convinced at the time that you were going to win that game?
Man, we just knew because, for one, we knew that we was going to get great field position the rest of the game. There's no way they're kicking the ball deep again. We just knew that it's going to put our offense in great field position every possession. And, you know, it came to bite us, you know, hunted us to bite us because one of the kids, they kicked real short. We was unfortunate to recover it, you know, and that kind of hurt us. But you know, other than that, we knew it was going to give our offense great field position.
And after all that had happened, what did it feel like to lose the Super Bowl, especially after you guys came in, you know, your return? It was a 7-0 game, but in the end you guys lost. How was that like, and how did you deal with that, especially, you know, going into the off season after that game?
It was tough, you know, to make it all the way there, you know, and to lose it, you know, and then you hear guys, you know, middle of the season saying that if we do go to the Super Bowl, you have guys that played, you know, 13, 14, 15 years in the league and never got an opportunity to experience the Super Bowl. So to make it there, you know, it's an honor, but at the end of the day, it's a tough pill to swallow when you don't come out with the victory of winning the Super Bowl.
After your unforgettable rookie season, there was talk about you becoming a more integral part of the team, and at the time, head coach Lovie Smith converted you into a wide receiver. So how difficult was it for you to transfer from defense to offense? And when it happened, what were your feelings about it?
At the time, you know, I'm a team ball player. You know, at the time of the decision, you know, I wasn't too happy with the decision. You know, it was constantly meetings about the situation of me moving to the offense, because it was something that I never did. You know, I never played receiver in high school, part one, or even in college. So it was kind of put me in a bind where, you know, I had to start over from scratch, or trying to learn how to play football all over again, you know. And I didn't like the idea, but at the same time, you know, it was kind of like a situation where, listen, man, we know that teams are not going to kick you the ball. So, and Coach Lovey, mind, you know, I don't blame him, but in his mind, he was like, we have a guy on the team that's probably one of the most feared guys with the ball in his hand, not being able to touch the ball, because now teams all they have to do is kick it out of bounds, you know, kick it out of bounds or kick a short punt, you know. So it just eliminated me from the game of what I was good at. And so that's when the situation came about, or just moved me to offense, that we're trying to find ways to get the ball in my hand.
You know, you mentioned Lovie Smith, and I wanted to ask you, too, when he was let go by the Bears, what were your thoughts on that? Because if I remember correctly, I know there were some reports coming out saying that you and some other players were even considering retiring just because of the impact that Smith had on your career and then him being gone from the Bears. So what was that like for you once he left and got let go?
I was very upset about the situation. You know, I didn't think it was fair. You know, at the end of the day, I know that this league is a business. I know that if guys don't, you know, you don't make the playoffs or you don't make the Super Bowls, that regardless of the record, you know, you may have, your job is still on the line. That's on the line. And that's part of business. And I understand that situation, you know. We were coming off a winning season, you know, and it was just tough, you know, for a guy that I felt took a chance on me in the draft, you know, and that's all I knew coming into the league was Coach Lovie Smith was my head coach, and he's been there for a while. You know, so it was tough on me, you know, to figure out my career and where it was going to go without him. And I didn't know how the new coach was going to deal, you know, deal with the situation of a new, you know, ownership as far as the coaches and everything, like what type of coaches. So it was just a lot going through our head of who the new coach was going to bring in, you know, whether or not we was going to be around. It's so much stuff that goes through your mind, you know, when they're bringing in new coaches. And that's why you see, even in college football, kids sign to a college, and the minute the head coach leave and they already signed, and they're changing their mind and going to other colleges because they don't build a relationship with that head coach. And don't spend so much time with them to when before they get there and they train, the head coach either get fired or go to a new team, they don't know what to do, so they go to other teams. And that's the situation I felt like I was put in at that time.
You know, you mentioned your relationship, too. What was that like with Lovie Smith? I mean, you mentioned him taking a chance on you in the draft, but during your time in the NFL, what was it like interacting with him on a daily basis and him coaching you up?
Man, I've had a relationship. You know, every player has different types of relationships with the coach. All players don't have the same type of relationship. Man, his relationship, I felt, was very strong. We bonded. We communicated since day one. And, you know, I just did my best to make him proud, you know. And, you know, I know Lovie Smith, and all he has is good things to say about me, and the vice versa with me. All I can say is good things about Coach Lovie Smith. And that's just the type of relationship we had.
Now, later on in your time with the Bears, there were many changes going on. Of course, Lovie Smith was let go. There were new offensive coordinators, it seemed like, every year. And your role was changing a lot as well. So what was it like for you to have to adjust, especially to the new offensive coordinators every year?
I mean, to be honest, a lot of people don't know, but it was very frustrating for me. You know, I think I maybe had over eight or nine offensive coordinators throughout my years of playing, you know, football. And to play 11 years and every other year have a new offensive coordinator was tough for a receiver, that a player that never played the position before, and to get into that role of trying to learn how to play receiver. And then every other year you're having a new offensive coordinator, so you're not really mastering the game. And the thing that I felt put me behind was I wasn't just learning the plays. I was learning formations that you learn in high school and college, because I never, you know, played receiver. So it kind of, I mean, I don't want to sit here and complain about the situation that I, the career that I had at receiver is is not pleasing to a lot of fans, because they, when you sit back and you watch the game, it's easy to talk about it, but when you're dealing and you're playing the game, it's a lot that you need to know. And I skipped over the basics of receiver, just formations, the way to line up, where to line up at when the formation is called, because I didn't know all that. You know all that from high school and college. And like I said, I never played it. So I was put in a position where I was constantly learning something all over again.
You know, you mentioned, too, having so many different offensive coordinators. What was that like for the offense in general? Because I know, obviously, Jay Cutler being on the team, he had some problems learning a new system every year, and you mentioned it, too. What was that like for the offense in general, trying to learn a brand new system pretty much every year?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, when you bring an offensive coordinator, every head coach or every GM don't expect the offense to do good that first year. It's a learning process. You're not going to come in that first year with a new offensive coordinator and go to the Super Bowl. If you find a team like that did that, you know what I mean, maybe one out of the whole NFL career, probably had a new offensive coordinator come in the same year and go to the Super Bowl. So when you bring in new offensive coordinator, you expect to improve a little bit, but you don't expect to go to the Super Bowl, you know, because you have a quarterback, for one, that don't know. Like, a quarterback has to at least spend at least two or three good years in the offensive system to master it. This is a guy that, you know, been playing quarterback since Pop Warner League. So they're used to the formation and everything. So when you bring in a new offensive coordinator, it takes time. You can't develop a great quarterback and put him in a new offense and think he's going to have a great season, because he's going to struggle a little bit. And that's the situation we're putting in. You know, we're just trying to find an offensive coordinator, and we're just bouncing around a lot.
You know, I wanted to ask you, moving on to your time with the Bears and near the end of your tenure, because your playing time started to see a bit of a problem. You weren't playing as much, and the Bears eventually refused to re-sign you. So did you feel betrayed, because you had given so much to this team, and then at the time, you were let go really without explanation? Take me through what had happened and how you overcame that.
It was tough. You know, I spent 8 years in Chicago. Going into my last year, you know, we just signed a new offensive coordinator, you know, so another offensive coordinator my last year that we had brought in a new one. And I told him at that time, you know, I was kind of fed up with that situation. I told him, let me just focus on kickoff and punt return. And, you know, I guess just by doing that, you know, it was just a situation where, well, we can, you know, the following year, it was like, you know, we can just if that's all you want to do here, then, you know, it was you know, we felt like we can move on, you know, with the situation, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, like I said, it's business, you know, I don't hold a grudge against it, you know, I hate that I had to leave Chicago, I didn't want to leave, but at the same time, I wasn't offered anything to stay, so a lot of people, you know, confused about that situation, saying that, you know, Devin Hester, he wanted to leave Chicago. He didn't want to sign back. It wasn't that. I wasn't given a contract. I wasn't given an opportunity to come back. So I didn't have no choice. If I continued to want to play football, I had to find another team. That's the situation I put in.
In the end, however, you did sign a ceremonial one-day contract and officially retired as a Chicago Bear. How hard was it for you to walk away from the game after such an amazing career? And how much did it mean to you to retire as a Bear?
It meant a lot for me to retire as a Bear. You know, that's where I spent majority of my career. And I told those guys, you know, Ted and George McCaskey and all those guys, and I told them that, you know, regardless of how we left, you know, parted ways in my career in Chicago, you know, my heart, and I will always bleed a Chicago Bear. And that as soon as I'm done playing football, I would love to come back and retire as a Bear.
You know, now that you're officially retired, you will be eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So what do you think about your chances of getting in?
I mean, it's crazy, because I've been getting those type of questions since my first year in the league. Since my first year in the league, of whether or not I was a Hall of Fame worthy. I've been getting those questions since 2007, 2008. You know, I never really looked at it because I was still playing football, but now that I'm retired, I do feel that I have a strong chance of making the Hall of Fame. Like I say, you when I look at the Hall of Fame and what makes a guy worthy of being a Hall of Famer, you start looking at stats. You start looking at what did this player bring to the game? What values do he have? Opponents-wise, how many opponents did this guy strike fear in? You know, did this guy change the game? You know, did he win ball games? Did he make coaches at night can't sleep before the game? Was he a key factor in this game? Was he a key factor in the NFL, period? When you bring up all those subjects and topics, I do feel that my face comes up in that topic. And so when they boil down to it, Hall of Fame are guys that stepped in the NFL and made things happen that didn't nobody think was going to happen. Did things that people thought would never be done in an NFL. That's what I did.
That's exactly what you did. I mean, and just thinking about your time with the Bears, if you weren't there, I mean, especially even in 2006, I don't think the Bears could have made the Super Bowl. And later on in your career, still returning for the Bears, you play a key factor in many games, countless games, in fact.
Most definitely. And when you have a player that can dictate the game without even touching the ball, it's been games where I didn't even get a chance to get a punt return because they kicked the ball out of bounds. That gave the offense great field position. So all those type of parts of the game that I brought to the table, you just can't base off just the returns I had. You got to look at games and watch the games and see how many times teams would put an offense on a 50-yard line just so they wouldn't punt the ball. All you need is one or two first downs for a field goal. That's great field position. Teams will pay $3, $4 million to a player that will bring that to the table easily.
I also wanted to ask you about your new son, Denali, and the recent passing of your grandfather. How much did your grandfather mean to you? And as for your son, what has it been like for you having a third kid?
First of all, my grandfather passed, you know, a couple months ago. It's been, you know, it's been tough because he was the heart and soul of our family, you know, and I look at it as this guy is the one that gave me the last name, Hester. He was the type of guy, you know, he was more country, loved riding horses. He was one of the guys that I talked to constantly, you know, during my time off and whenever I get the opportunity to visit him, you know, and see him. It was tough on me, you know, with that situation. So that was pretty tough. And then with the newborn, it was so crazy because the night my grandfather passed, the same night my son was born.
Wow.
Huh. So that was crazy there, you know, because I didn't, the night he passed, we was in labor. So my mom and my brother was telling everybody not to call me because I was in labor with my son at the time, and they didn't want to break that news. So I didn't hear about the news until the next morning, you know, and, you know, holding my son and having my brother on speakerphone, thinking he was calling me to congratulate me on the son, he was breaking the news to me that my grandfather had passed, you know, so it was tough to bring my son into the world. And then at the same time, you know, the first call I get is to let me know that my grandfather had passed. So it was tough, man. So I didn't know how to react to it because at the same time I was happy with the son and, you know, the news with my grandfather.
On a final note, I know that your nickname during your playing days was Anytime, and I wanted to know, how did you get this nickname, and what does it mean to you?
It was a nickname given to me by Dion. Dion gave me a nickname, man, and it was like, you know, I told him, we had a conversation, we had an interview in college, and he was just saying, you know, that I was letting him know, hey, it's going to be a new prime time and it's coming up in this game. And he was like it's a new time, man. And he was like, man, what you thinking about? Sometime? What time? Anytime? I was like, anytime. We bust out laughing, and after that, it just kind of just took off.
Oh, well, Devin, thank you so much for being here on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on, and you're welcome on any time again in the future. It was great. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
A special thank you to Devin Hester for being here on today's show. We talked about so much, including his career, his Hall of Fame chances, and comically enough, the many offensive coordinators that he went through here in Chicago. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports. Hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram, all at John Zags, and follow me personally on Twitter at John Z Sports. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website by typing your email in the box on the home screen. This will allow you to receive email updates whenever a new podcast or article is posted. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.